In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I've always loved this passage from our gospel today. The friends of the poor paralytic bring him to the Lord for healing, out of their great love for him, obviously. But also they had great faith in the Lord, a faith that was translated into action. Not a faith that was dead, but a faith which was completed in a visible way. The Lord is so moved by their faith and belief that he could heal this poor man, that he says, "Son, be of good cheer." What comforting words, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." In this passage, we can detect a faint connection between faith and works. These friends of this poor paralytic saw in our Lord Jesus Christ something that confirmed in their hearts that he could heal their friend. They believed this could happen, and what better picture of this belief can we find than them bringing their friend to Christ? But their desire for his healing was addressed in a way that neither they, nor the paralytic, nor the Jewish scribes anticipated. The Lord grants forgiveness of sins to the paralytic. And to demonstrate the connection between our sins and our infirmities, he then heals the paralytic. Of course, the scribes were indignant over this, claiming that he was a blasphemer. Here he had healed this poor man. He had brought his healing mercies, the healing mercies of God, which can come from no other source, and given deliverance to this poor man who was paralyzed. And they were going to strain gnats about the Mosaic law. The Lord characterizes their grumbling as evil. Not misguided, not confused, evil. He called it what it was. And he demonstrates his authority to forgive sins, an unseen reality, by the empirical act of healing the body of this poor man. In a sense, he revealed the unseen, which is far greater, by the seen. In Orthodox Christian theology, the emphasis in reconciliation to God is on healing, the healing of the soul, rather than a legalistic adherence to a behavioral standard, which could bring merit with God for us. Our Lord sees that we are ill with sin. This illness is of the soul and the body. Because of his love for us, he desires that we be set free from this illness of sin. It is an affliction, dearly beloved, and all of us have this affliction. And our Lord's desire is that our entire person be delivered, healed, and set free from this curse. This healing takes place from the inside out. It's not just an external or a superficial healing. It is a holistic healing, to use a contemporary term. Because you are a unity of body, soul, and spirit. And the Orthodox Church does not teach that we can believe one thing and live out another that is in conflict with that which is within us. Christ is trying to save the whole you and me. Not just parts of us. He's trying to save all of you. He's trying to redeem all of you. He is trying to sanctify all of you. This is his work in us. When we are touched by God's forgiveness, a response takes place in us that is identifiable, verifiable, and undeniable. This response could be described in many ways, one of which is good works. What are good works? 2 weeks ago, we had very direct admonishments and commands from St. Paul and the Lord himself that we are to bring forth good works in our life. Do these works save us? Ephesians 2, well, I'll come to this momentarily. Ephesians, let me read to you Ephesians 2, verses 4 and following on good works. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us all sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So he's making it very clear here that we cannot save ourselves by our works, as good as they might be or appear to be. But then he goes on to say, in what might even could be construed as a contradiction, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Works which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And some of us who've been around together for many years will remember one of the translations, I think it's the New American Standard on this verse, works that were prepared before the foundations of the world that we should walk in them. Good works. Do these things save us? It's a fair question. The various aspects of our ascetical life, fasting, prayer, almsgiving, ministering to the poor. When we do these things, do those things save us in and of themselves? The answer is no. Those things do not save us. Do you remember when the Lord was approached by the man and he referred to him as good teacher? Good teacher. To which our Lord, you might would think his response would be, oh, well, shucks. No, his response was, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Only good works only originate with him. These works were prepared before the foundations of the world. Why? Because it is the life of God himself being poured out. Is not our life. It is not our righteousness. We cannot save ourselves because of this terrible illness of sin that we have, this curse, this plague, from which we desperately need to be delivered. St. Paul wrote that all good things come from the Father of lights. So the manifestation of God's forgiveness of our sins can be seen as a release of his life in us. We are saved by his good works in us, which we work together with him to accomplish. We are not just empty channels through which this flows. You have a free will. You have the capacity to say yea or nay to God in your participation in this life of God. To become the temple of the living God means that he really and truly lives in you. He dwells in you. And that life is there. And so the good works emanate out of the heart, a heart that is cleansed, a heart that is occupied by the Holy Trinity. Someone a while back asked me a question that I've heard asked by other people as well, and as I said earlier, it's a fair question. You know, do our ascetical efforts save us in and of themselves? And I've already answered that question. But if we have a relationship with God where His life is in us, if we have opened the door of our heart to Him, you know, this is it. You ever heard this? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It is God knocking. Let me tell you something. He could kick that door in if he wanted to. He does not want to. You have a free will. He doesn't want a robot. He doesn't want a puppet. He wants a child. He wants a friend. Someone who, of their own volition, loves him, is responsive to the grace and mercy that has been poured out in their lives. That is what he desires. That is what he is trying to accomplish in each of our lives, every single one of us, in the daily circumstances of our life. So our whole life then becomes a project, doesn't it? St. Paul said, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Every day is important, my friends. Every day. We only have so much time. We must make good use of that time. The purpose of this life is not just to be fat and sassy and comfortable. It's to prepare ourselves for the life to come. And it will come. And we know not when. And we better be ready. So when we read our epistle today, we see seven or eight good works mentioned in Romans 12, verses 9 and following. This is not exhausted, by the way. These are wonderful. This is a great reference point. If you ever want to have a good, quick reference for self-examination, just to kind of take your own spiritual temperature, where am I with God? This is a great place to come to do that. But it is not exhausted, because God is inexhaustible. But listen to some of these things. Let love be without hypocrisy. Do we love without being hypocrites? Abhor what is evil. Do we hate what is evil, or have we become friends with our sins? Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. It just goes on and on and on. Do those things in and of themselves save us? No. But if your relationship with the Holy Trinity is authentic and genuine, this is going to be the fruit that speaks of it. This is going to be the completion of your faith. St. James says, faith without works is dead. It is dead. We are not called to death, we are called to life. The life that is in the resurrection of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, and it can be found nowhere else. So these are but a few of the fruits that emanate from the heart of one whose sins have been forgiven. This list is not exhaustive, as I've already said, but it should. These things are indicative of a thankful heart, one that is responsive to the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. Nevertheless, God can forgive us. Or maybe the question you might be thinking, can God forgive me? Can he really and truly forgive me of my sins? He can and he does. Forgiveness is not even an issue. He has forgiven us. But we have to open the door. When he knocks, we have to open the door. And that is commensurate with the things we do through prayer, through fasting, through putting others' needs before our own. These barnacles, I like to use. Some of those of you who've been through catechism with me know I like to use this example of scuba divers exploring these old battleships. You know how they are. They've got these steel doors with this big wheel in the middle. And the ships have been under the water all these years, and they have all these barnacles around the edge. So sometimes you'll see these divers pull out this big old knife and chip away at those barnacles and work. And finally they get the wheel to turn, and they pull that door open. If that's not a good picture of a human heart that's lost in sin, I don't know what is. We all have barnacles that would prevent us from opening, from responding to this right here. So we must make that effort. We have to do a little bit on our own part. The invitation is always there. The initiative is always there. The gift is always there. But we have to accept it. And to accept it means we let it work in us and change us and transform us into the image of Christ. It is this to which we are called, dearly beloved. We are called to this, to evidence the life of God within ourselves. So I ask you today, have you opened your heart to his forgiveness? Have you responded in repentance and gratitude to the mercy and grace that has been poured out in your heart? Or do we either presume on the grace of his, on his grace and continue in our sins, or at the other end of the continuum, do we doubt that he could ever forgive us? You know, some of us fall in different impediments to accepting this grace. Some of us think we're just so rotten that God could never forgive us. I'm here to tell you, he can. But some of us think that we can just do anything and his forgiveness will be there like some kind of divine credit card or something. That's not the case either. That's a very, very dangerous mentality. He loves you with a love that you cannot even imagine. And he wants to save you. He wants to really save you. He said, when I set you free, you will really be free. And that's what he tries to do in us each and every day. So I would say in closing that a heart that is full of good cheer over forgiveness of sins is one that realizes and is thankful to God for his forgiveness. May we all have that sense of gratitude in our lives, acknowledging what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us in that great day when we see him face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.